I trust God. I trust God. In His love, in His power, in His grace, I trust God. Let's sing that together. I trust God. I trust God. In His love, in His power, in His grace, I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. In His love, in His power, in His grace, I trust God. I trust God.
I trust God.
Oh, I trust God.
I trust God.
In His love, in His power.
In His love, in His power, in His grace.
I trust God. God. I trust God.
I trust God.
Oh, I trust God.
I trust God. I trust God.
If we lose our trust in God, we have nothing else. We actually have nothing else. We are persons who have put all our eggs, as it were, in one basket. In one basket. And there are sometimes that there was a point in your life where you used to plan and strategize. And as you plan it, you have fixed, you make steps towards it. Most times it actually works. And you see, you just plan, walk towards it, and you get it. Then you say, okay, let me trust God. And somehow it's not working as it should have, in your opinion. There's always a temptation that, okay. Let me just try again and just plan and strategize and get the results I need. But we have to keep reminding ourselves that we trust God. We trust God. We trust in His love. The scriptures, we tell them, well, you see all the prophecies, say to those who are weary, say to them that your God will surely come. He will come and save you. And of course, that was salvation, which we already have. If God did not fail in all those things, say, Lord will come and save you. And He did it. It's enough proof that, see, even the words He has said concerning you, you will see it. The words He has said concerning you, you will see it. If you didn't fail in salvation, you wouldn't fail even in this. See, God, we must trust in God's love. That God has no interest in wasting anyone's life. That if He says there is honor, glory, and immortality in this path, we may be the filth of the world. We may be scorn of men. We may be receiving the lashings of men and of our parents and of different persons. But we trust God. We trust God. And enough comfort in our heart. We trust God. We read about His healing. We read about miracles. We see the people receiving theirs. And it's not yet our reality. We trust God. We lose this, we have nothing else to hold on to. We trust in His love, we trust in His power. We keep trusting in His grace. The love of God that was powerful enough to bring salvation to all men. We trust this. Edwin, just open your heart again. Let the love of God fill your heart. let his love fill your heart. Let it assure you again that, see, you are not wasting your life on this path. You are not. No gimmicks, no strategies, no alternatives. Yes, you have put all your eggs in this. But don't worry. It won't crash. I trust God
in His love, in His power, in His grace. I trust God in His love, in His power, in His grace. I trust God. In His love, in His power,
in His love, in His power, in His grace.
I trust God. In His love, in His power,
in His love, in His power, in His grace. I trust God.
One more time, I trust God. I trust in His love, in His power.
I trust God.
I trust in His love, in His power, and in His grace.
In His love, in His power, in His grace. I trust God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's a blessed assurance. It's a blessed assurance. That fact that Jesus is ours is a foretaste of glory divine. It's just a foretaste. Glory is ours. Glory is ours. Don't lose this. If you lose your trust, we'll fall back to the strategies. But don't worry. Glory is ours. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Choose to trust you over and above all. 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 Thank you. Understanding and comprehension is ours this morning. We see the word clearly. It makes us better. It benefits us all around. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Have your seat. Glory. How are you? A beautiful morning. Have you said good morning to your neighbor? Good morning. Ensure your neighbor is ready. Check for his hard copy Bible, hardcover note, pen and a spare. Is your neighbor ready? The neighbor is not ready. Ensure your neighbor is ready. Ensure it. Are we ready now? Okay. Okay, theology of selection. I think this is part 10 now. I don't know anymore. I just keep going until it happens. We're looking at TULIP as the five tenets of which this religion is based on, or that they propagate. Total depravity. You. Have you forgotten it? It's okay. But we have just looked at T already. But we are going to jump to I this morning. I is irresistible grace. L is limited atonement. P is perseverance of saints, but don't worry. So I, irresistible grace. It actually goes closely related with total depravity, which we have been looking at. And we've been looking at, is man totally depraved that he's unable to receive salvation, even if he wants to? See that he's dead, totally dead, and cannot receive salvation. And we looked at spirit, soul, and body of man, saw that the spirit of man cannot be born dead, not born dead at all. And deadness, if a man's spirit is dead, is because the spirit of God is absent in that man's spirit, caused by that man's decision in his mind. And that deadness does not necessarily mean that he's rotten or is totally lacking. It simply means that God is not present in the spirit. So that cannot render him incapable of receiving salvation. And we clarified some scriptures, most especially Romans 3, that seems to portray that. But we'll still go there. That's why I said irresistible grace is closely related to total depravity. You will understand that we'll tie it together this morning. All right, so let's define what they mean by irresistible grace. And that is that God's grace is decisive in man's conversion outside that man's will. God's grace is decisive. It's a decisive factor in man's conversion, that's to convert the man, outside the man's will. It means simply that the Holy Ghost, whenever it chooses, can overcome all resistance and make his influence irresistible. When the Holy Ghost chooses, he can overcome all of man's resistance and make that influence that he wants to give the man irresistible to the man. The man cannot resist it. That man can choose to resist God's will. Man can choose it and say, yes, because he had a choice, I will resist God's will. But that God is sovereign. Even in man's choice, God is sovereign. And he can conquer that man's resistance anytime at all God wants to. God can crush the resistance of any man at any time he wants to. Anytime. He can say, okay, Bumi, you are stubborn. I will give you 5 years. Keep being stubborn. In 5 years, your time is up. Once I show up in 5 years, at that time, even though you want to still keep being stubborn, I'll crush it. And you don't have a choice but to submit to my will. Do they believe that the sovereign work of God, the sovereign work of God to overcome the rebellion of our heart and bring us to faith in Christ so that we can be saved? That's God's sovereignty. To overcome the rebellion in man's heart and bring us to faith in Christ so that we can be saved. So we can be saved. Glory, glory, glory. And also, why is this irresistible grace necessary? Because of man's total depravity. irresistible grace is necessary because of man's total depravity and man being dead in his sins. The fact that man is totally depraved and being dead in sins, unable to submit to God. Because of that, we will never believe in Christ. We would never, no man can ever believe in Christ unless God overcomes our rebellion. Man will never believe in Christ unless God overcomes that rebellion. God does not overcome that rebellion, forget it. Can happen. And this is what they call saving grace. Saving. The saving grace of God. This irresistible grace. Also, we have to correctly state what we are trying to explain. So also, that we don't become born again by our faith. We don't become born again by our faith. But God brings about our faith by the new birth. You understand this difference? We don't become born again by our faith, but God brings about our faith by the new birth. That means we have faith because we are born again. So believing in Jesus is not the reason why you are born again. Rather, it is the evidence that we have been born of God. Did you get that? Believing in Jesus is not the reason, or it's not the cause of being born again. It is the evidence that we have been born of God. Your believing in Jesus is your evidence, your proof that you have been born of God. That's what we're going to look at this morning. I sincerely hope we finish Irresistible Grace today. Limited atonement, won't take so much time. The others, then we can wrap up on God's sovereignty and we'll be done with this freaking divide the world. Okay, so we'll start here. Is believing in Jesus, is it the result of being born again? You know, think about it. Does it sound logical? Think about it sincerely. The fact that you believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus, why? Because I am born again. Does this sound correct? Sounds correct, right? It actually sounds correct. And the reason why I believe in Jesus at all is because I'm already born again. So if I was not born again, I would not believe in Jesus. That means he's saying that man cannot on his own just wake up and say, okay, I believe in Jesus. I have to first be born of God. God has to do something in my spirit, make me alive, for me to now be able to believe that, yes, Jesus is what the scripture says he is. So we are going to look at that clearly. Now, the Bible is clear on the role of believing in salvation. The Bible is very clear on the role that believing plays in salvation. Whether it is the reason for salvation or the result of salvation. The Bible is quite clear on that. We are going to just be reading several scriptures this morning. Please get ready. We have over 40 scriptures to cover. And just be reading. Are you ready? Okay. Let's start from Mark 16. Start from the New Testament portion. Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Open, open, open. We have exams today, so I crave your cooperation. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So according to this place, what role does believing play? Is it the requirement for salvation or the product of salvation? Requirement of salvation. So he that believes is the one that is saved. He that believes not is the one that is damned. So believing is the precursor, or sorry, the requirement, the necessity for salvation. John 3:16. You know it. Open. John 3:16. Yeah, let me read from verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, according to verse 16, what is the first thing that should happen? From what we read, 14 to 16, what's the first thing that should happen? No, that's not the first thing that will happen. Yes, yeah, so God will give his Son, God will do something, and then man is to what? So what is man's first response? Believe. And then he is saved. He receives everlasting life. So yes, the first party is God in the equation. You cannot tell a man to believe when there is nothing to believe on. Believing is not, you cannot just believe on empty air. There is something to believe. Then, but the man's role, believe, and then receives everlasting life. You know, believe there means to think to be true. To think to be true, that something is true, to think it, to be persuaded of something, to be convinced about something. That has meaning of belief. To think that, yes, this is true. To be persuaded about it, to be convinced about it. So the first action is God's own. He does something. Man is to be convinced about what he has done. Man is to think it's true, that yes, what God did is true. Then he receives salvation. So, okay, let's start reading. Verse 36 of that same John 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So, believing comes before life. Believing comes before life. It's clearly stated there. Believing comes before life. Life is a product of believing. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So the person who hears and believes is the one that is passed from death to life. You must believe to be able to pass from death to life. John 6:47. Am I too fast? But it's opening yet. Still writing. Slow down. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Clear. The one who believes on me has everlasting life. Everlasting life is when you believe in Christ, what he has done. John 11. John 11, 25. John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So clearly stated there, Jesus said, me, what I have is resurrection. What I have is life. So life is in Christ. And he that believeth in Christ, even though he were dead, yet shall he live. So he was talking about physical death there. Because that was the situation of Lazarus. So, life, even if he dies physically, he will still live physically later because he has everlasting life. Because there is everlasting life in a man's spirit, he must definitely not have an everlasting body to accommodate that everlasting life. It is definite and sure. Okay? Too many scriptures. Let's see John 12. John 12, verse 46. John 12, 46. John 12, 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. But if anyone hears my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I have not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And then, because I don't want to explain that right now, we'll explain it later. So, life, light, is in Christ. The man who wants to escape darkness must believe in Christ to receive it. Must come to Christ to receive it. Life is not where the man is. Life is found in Christ. Light is found in Christ. So, that light and life has been made available by what Jesus did, open to any man. Whoever believes has that as his reality. Let's go to Acts of the Apostles, Acts 8:37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So when the apostles were presented with, what shall we do to be saved? What can I do to have life? What can I do to receive life? They did not say, there will be an irresistible grace of God will arrest your soul or something. All they always say is believe. Believe. Placing the responsibility on the man. If you believe, then this is yours. Acts chapter 10. Acts 10:43. So him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. So receiving cancellation of sins is tied to believing. Believing in what Christ has done, that is his name. All that he got by reason of his sacrifice. benefits that accrue. A man must believe it, think it to be true, be convinced of it, and then it is his. Acts 11. Acts 11, 17. This was when Peter was questioned. How come Gentiles are speaking in tongues? How come you went to Gentiles' houses to eat with them, to interact with them? That is against the law. And see Peter's response, verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? That means the gift there talks about the Holy Ghost. And he says, we believed and we received the Holy Ghost. They too believed and they received the Holy Ghost. It's not specific to any man, any kind of man. Any man anywhere who believes in what Christ has done receives this gift of the Holy Ghost, which is eternal life. Acts 13. Acts 13. Just be looking through scriptures. Scriptures is what we have for reproof, for evidence. Give evidence by scriptures. And what is the scripture stand on this? What does the Bible say about the requirement for believing? Acts 13, 39 or 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So, clear. Anyone who believes is justified of all things, making believing again the requirement. It is the one who believes that is justified of all things. The one that believes, justified of all things. Acts 16. How many scriptures have we looked at now? Trying to give at least 10. Acts 16. 30. This was when Paul and Silas were imprisoned, and then the jailer, or the jailer, whatever it is, released him. Saw that he has been released supernaturally. Note the chains were broken and he was scared. Then, when they said, it was God that delivered us, 30 now says, when he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe. Always the requirement for salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe, you and your household believe, you will be saved. No exception. No exception. Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9. Romans 10, 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So, all that call upon him, all that believe, all that request for this life will receive it. It's all a function of the man believing and accepting it as true. Believe, accept it as true, and it's yours. and is yours. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After you believed, you were sealed. So, everything God has to give man to make him alive is contingent upon the man believing and receiving. Now, see this, there are several other scriptures, of course. For the sake of time, we cannot look at all. But see the scripture that this religion holds on to say that it is believing can only come because of the fact that you are born again. 1 John 5. Are we there? 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now see that first part. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Are you seeing it? So that means they are saying that the person that believes that Jesus is the Christ is the one born of God. That means you have to be born of God. There's a translation that makes it look like you have to be born of God then for you to believe. Do you understand? I'll say what the conclusion is from this scripture for them. Now, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That means I am born of God, therefore I believe that Jesus is the Christ. This believing that Jesus is the Christ is an offshoot of my being born of God. So anybody that believes that Jesus is the Christ is because he is born of God. But from all that we have read, and even from this scripture, is that the order of precedence? Is it born of God before believing? No. The one who believes is born of God. Whosoever believes is born of God. That's all that scripture is saying. The person that believes is born of God. You see verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So in verse 5, which one comes first? Verse 5. Did you see believing in it? Okay. Verse 5. Which one comes first? So he's simply saying that you want to know who overcomes the world. From verse 4, it will tell you. You want to know who overcomes the world. Don't look too far. It is the one that has believed that Jesus is the Son of God. So whether it is written first, second, third, fourth, no matter the order of no matter the order of writing, it is still believing that is first from all that we have read so far. That when we start from John, of course, I didn't start from Matthew, a lot of scriptures there, that Jesus is the Son of God. Or you have to believe first for this to be your reality. So, also, the reason why those that will not, some people will not benefit from what Jesus has done is because they did not believe. It is clear too. The same way it is clear that you must believe to have, same way it is also clear that those who do not have is simply because they don't believe. It is clear there. I don't have eternal life because I don't believe. Okay, where did I lose you? The same way it is clear that believing is what gives life, The same way it's also clear that not believing is why a man does not have life. Anyhow you want to phrase it. So John 3, let's now look at the inverse scriptures. John 3. It was never tied to the fact that an irresistible grace has not dawned on them. A man who does not have life, it was always tied to the fact that he did not believe. John 3, 18. John 3, 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. So it is the man that does not believe that is condemned. And what is his condemnation? He preferred darkness. It was his choice. Divine, are you listening to me? He preferred darkness. Men agape darkness. Preferred it over light. He chose it over light. John 3, that same John 3, 36. He that believeth the Son had everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Clear again. You have life because you believe. You don't have life because you don't believe. John 3, 36. Because you don't believe. John 8. John chapter 8. John 8. John 8. 24. John chapter 8, verse 24. Para, focus on your Bible. John 8, 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Clear. The reason why you would die is because you do not believe who I am. You do not believe what I am offering. You don't see it as true. That is why you would die in your sins. Clear. Very clear. Acts 19. Acts chapter 19. Acts 19, 8 to 9. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So Paul's message was general to everyone. Some persons believed, some refused to believe, and then they proceeded beyond not believing, spoke evil of the way, and he received like that, causing trouble for him to the point of attempting to kill him. All a product of not believing. Not believing hardens a man's heart. We're going to see it soon. Acts 28. Acts chapter 28. Verse 23. Acts 28:23. And when they had appointed him a day, okay, 22. And we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. As concerning Christians, that people are speaking against it everywhere. And so let us hear you convince us about it. 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodgings, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So a full day Paul was teaching from the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, that Jesus is the Christ. This is what Jesus has. And what was their response? 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Some believed, some believed not. Some believed, some believed not. Because those who believe receive what the gospel speaks about. Those who believe not will not have it. So their choice. 2 Thessalonians. This morning, just be ready to open scriptures. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 12. To explain apostasy, you understand what the strong delusion is. When saints depart from the scene, who are the preachers? Will get there later. And the result. Okay, 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So damnation is for those who do not believe the truth. Who chose unrighteousness instead? Unrighteousness is not to believe God's pattern of justification, which is by faith. That is sin. We have seen that last time. So those who chose this are damned. Clear. Hebrews 3:18. Hebrews 3:18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not, those who did not enter into the rest of God, those who it was impossible for them to enter into rest. He was not trying to say, who are those people? Is it not clear that it is those who did not believe? Hebrews 3:18. Is what we just read. It is those who did not believe that did not enter into this rest of God. Very clear. Hebrews 4:6. Seeing therefore, it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was preached, entered not in because of unbelief. So why did they not receive what the rest that was planned for them? Unbelief. Clear. Hebrews 4:6. It was clear that it's because of unbelief. Very clear. Verse 11 says the same thing. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So the reason why some will fall by the wayside is because of what? Unbelief. So what is the labor there? What will be the labor? To believe. Simple. Romans 11:26. Let me read from 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. be not high-minded, but fear. We have analyzed this entire chapter in Judaism. So the reason why these people are not partakers of this promise is because of unbelief. And the reason why you are a partaker is because of faith. And 23 now says, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be granted in, for God is able to grant them in again. If they refuse to continue in unbelief, okay? If they stop that action of not believing, okay, I think that puts it better. The reason why they not enter is unbelief. So if unbelief is a progressive thing that they are involved in, if they halt it at any point in time, if they stop that action of unbelief, then they will be able to partake of this promise. So the only reason why a man will partake is faith. The only reason why a man will not partake is unbelief. Nothing else. Nothing else. But please note this before we continue, that believing is not a New Testament requirement. Maybe because we've been reading only the scriptures in the New Testament. Believing to receive God's promise is not a New Testament requirement. It did not just start today. Why? Because if sin is to miss the mark, remember on Sunday when we analyzed that, if sin is to miss the mark, that means, please think of from this very sentence, if sin is to miss the mark, then what must come first? From this same sentence I just said, if sin is to miss the mark, what must come first? There must be the mark. So, if sin is that I am deviating from something, then that part must be there. So, what existed first before man sinned, before anything, that mark, that delineating factor. For there to be sin, there must first be an intention. There must be a mark to be missed. There must be something that a man can choose to deviate from. That is why, thinking about Jesus, Pastor said in series 2, that Jesus is not a new introduction to humanity. Jesus is not a new introduction to humanity. Even though he lived physically 2,000 plus years ago, that is not his first time he was introduced to men. Remember how he told Abraham, I told them that Abraham saw my day. And then you were saying, are you older than Abraham? So before Abraham, before all men, Jesus was available to be received because Jesus was God's intention, or is God's intention. John 1 made it clear. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. In the beginning, we have God's intention. See what is clear from the beginning, what exists before any other thing that exists because God exists is the intention of God. And we now see that that intention was now made flesh and we beheld his glory. So that was John 1. We've analyzed that before. I think that was part 4 or something. So since Jesus is God's intention personified, then he must of necessity have been available for men to be believed, or for men to believe in. This intention has been presented to each man from Adam. Every man has access to this intention. They may receive it in various types and shadows, in different ways and different clarity, but it did not reduce its potency. Their lack of clear understanding did not reduce its potency. It was enough for justification. Whatever they believed at that point in time, was enough for justification. It was until he was made flesh that we could behold the entirety of God's intention. But even then, whatever man could receive of it was enough. So let us see this. We are saying that believing is not a New Testament requirement. We first of all analyze what is irresistible grace. Irresistible grace is that a man, when he can decide to be rebelling against God, but when God chooses, when God decides, he can override that man's will at any time by shining a grace on the man that the man cannot resist, to crush the man's resistance and makes him obedient to God. So, is it irresistible grace that is the requirement for salvation is what we first analyzed. And we saw from scripture that it is believing and not believing that is the requirement according to scripture. So, now we are saying that it is not a New Testament thing. It has been so. Let's see Romans 3. Remember, we dealt with this on Wednesday. Romans chapter 3. Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. What is this talking about? Tell me. What is this talking about? I didn't hear you. Can't hear what you're hearing. Shushu, I can see your mouth moving, but your mind is not here. You think I'm not watching all of you? What is Romans 3:10 talking about? There's no man that is what? There's no man that is self-righteous. After you just said, now did it make sense? You know, as you said it. Think about it again. And say it again. If it makes sense. Romans 3:10, what is he talking about? Are you Sammy? Or Sammy, you don't have the answer. So what's the answer? See when you are doing your eye and your mouth and everything like that. I don't understand. Is it your mouth and eye that is trying to, are you trying to psych me? There is no man. Okay. What is he talking about? He's talking about Paul's explanation. Afuel has finished. There is and before you finished. Huh? Okay, Samuel, what is Romans 3:10 saying? There is none righteous, no, not one. Let everybody start with You suppose? Yes. You just don't know how to. Judith, yeah, help us, woman of God. Romans 3:10. I spent 1 hour on this yesterday, on Wednesday. So you people cannot tell me that you don't understand it. Too. It's impossible. Let me not look at you. Is it that righteousness cannot be found in the law? There are certain phrases you must use, otherwise your statement becomes wrong. It's what they've been lacking in what they've been saying. It's not as if they were there, but there are certain things you must just see. So what was their actual problem? No. Hey. Were you here on Wednesday? No. You're not here. Okay, you're following online. The answer. Online. Let's see whether online followership is as potent as the real thing. Answer. So what would that non-righteous be? Okay, who can answer it? It's not as if they don't understand. Justification by the works of the law. Because the intention is there. The law itself contains the intention. Do you understand? So you cannot just say the law is bad. It is not. The entire scriptures contains that intention. There's an intention before the documentation. What is the Jews' problem? Paul is trying to prove to them that entire scripture talks about God's righteousness, which is faith, that it can only be obtained by faith. Is what he said in Romans 1:17. That this righteousness of God is revealed, which is faith by faith. Then he now started explaining that you can only get it by faith, both the one without the documentation and the one with the documentation. So the Jews, what is their problem? We are discarding the righteousness by faith, which is the law is supposed to give us, and we are now doing righteousness by the works of the law. The law did not say come and be doing individual things there. It is that I receive the entirety of the intention and do. Once you receive the entirety of the intention, what will you arrive at? Faith. But if you say, I want to be picking 1, 1, 1, then that law now tells you that by doing 1 by 1, you can never be righteous. So there is none righteous, no, not one. And every other thing that is said there is that any man who attempts to seek righteousness by doing everything here, it is impossible. He cannot be righteous. So the difference is, hey, the intention is righteousness by faith. But the works of the law is telling you, do it. Self, that is flesh, which we saw in Romans 7. Attempting to do by yourself. Once you attempt to do by yourself, your faith will be what is there. Faith means F-A-T-E. Will be what is in verse 10 to this. The law itself has written that no one can be righteous by doing these things one by one. Is that clear now? It was clear on Wednesday. You said yes, it was clear. Is the usage of English? Okay. English. We soon have an Igbo interpreter, Yoruba interpreter, to each man as he needs, as long as you understand it. Okay, now see, when he now talks about, so where is this? Verse 21. Okay, 20. Therefore, okay, let's read from verse 19. Now we know, after Paul has finished quoting, he was quoting from the law. He now says, now we know that what things soever the law said, he said to them who are what? Under the law. That means all these things apply to those who are trying to keep it. It's not said it's every man. If he's saying it's every man, that means forget it, nobody is righteous on earth. But we see in Romans 4 that it wasn't so. Abraham was adjudged righteous. Abi, was Abraham not told that he was righteous? Did Abraham fall into this category of verse 3:10, that there is none righteous, no, not one? He can't. Why? Because his own part was faith. So now he's not telling you that we know that whatsoever things the law said, all these things I've just said, it is to them who are trying to keep the law. that every mouth may be stopped and the world may become guilty before God. So it cannot be the entire world, because Abraham was not guilty before God. David was not guilty before God. Abel was not guilty before God. But every one of them, anyone who wants to do anything by himself, the result is that he will have guilt. He will be guilty. 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law. What is therefore? Finality, conclusion, based on all I've been saying. By the deeds of the law, not the intention, the deeds, the trying to do it, shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. 21. All right, everybody, let's read 21. Won't you go? Are you there? They're still writing. 21. Okay, let's go. Won't you go? The righteousness of God outside the law, outside the deeds of the law, is what is now revealed. And it is not just a new thing. The prophets have spoken about it. It has been witnessed, spoken, and testified about by the entire scriptures. The law and the prophets refers to the entire scriptures. 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So what is the righteousness revealed? It is the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ. From the beginning, that is it. Faith in Christ. There is no difference. Any man, anywhere. Through faith in Christ, that is the only way it can be justified. What Romans 3 is what Paul was, I told you yesterday, on Wednesday, Paul was defending the gospel, which he said is the righteousness by faith. Gospel reveals God's righteousness, which can only come to a man by faith, not by trying to keep the entire law, but rather to obey the intention of the law, which is the same faith in Christ. So, now see Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. Now, what is works there? Look at your Bible. What is the works there? Look out now. What is works? The deeds of the Lord. They're trying to do the things one by one. So he said, if this was how Abraham found justification, then he has something to be proud about. But God has said, no flesh will glory in his presence. 3 now says, for what seeth the scripture? So what does the scripture say? How did Abraham get this justification? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Paul is saying, this gospel, see, from even Abraham's time, this is what justified him. Righteousness by faith, not by works. 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. The person who is trying to do everything by keeping the deeds of the law, what God will be the one owing himself if there was something like that. Say God will be the one owing you righteousness, if righteousness could have come by keeping the law. But he said righteousness can only come by grace, to show you that it is not by keeping any individual law. And he said, even David, verse 6, okay, 5. But to him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The one who is not trying to do these things one by one, but simply believes in what God has said, which is that intention, that faith is righteousness. Just that singular action is righteousness. And then verse 6, it now says, even David. Okay, let me wait for you. Oh my God, it's almost tense. Okay, Romans 5, Romans 6 now. It says, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are covered and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Commit this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the circumcision also, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Do you understand this thing I just said? He's saying that when Abraham had this faith, he was not a Jew. He did not have the law. So he was justified even before the law came into the scene. So he gave you two examples. One man before the law, one man during the law. And what is the conclusion of the two of them? Righteousness is only how? By faith. The example of the man before the law is who? Abraham. The example of the man under the law is who? David. Same thing applies. Faith. So faith is not a New Testament thing. You see the same thing in Galatians 3, 6 to 11. Let me just read it for you. Galatians 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, indeed shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. 11 now says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, it is clear. Why? The just shall have life. The just shall come alive. The just shall receive life. The just shall live by faith. This, the just shall live by faith. Where was it first quoted? Habakkuk. So even then, they have been told that, hey, justification is only by faith. Only by faith, which is superior. So faith is not a New Testament thing. It's not after Christ died and rose again that it became a requirement. No. For every man that has been justified from Abel down has only been by faith. Even us today, by faith. By faith. Let's see Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy 1. Verse 31. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that he went, until you came into this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you, to set you out a place to pitch your tent in, fire by night, to show you by that way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth and swore, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Save, that means except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath followed the Lord. Now, in verse 35, identify the word that connotes unbelief there. 35. What word shows unbelief there? Evil. evil generation. These ones are faithless. These ones don't have faith. Then what word now shows faith in 36? Followed me fully. So faith is to follow God fully. No extra requirement. When a man is in faith, he has followed God fully. That is why we can say God is fully pleased with the man in Christ. Fully. No extra expectation. And God says that man lacks nothing. Let's see Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I know some people are wishing that they were upstairs. And this is them. Rather than opening Bible and writing, this woman is just suffering us. I see not our people, they say, I see not the same faith. Are they not believers too? Or doing all the way, all the way? Don't worry. Hebrews 11. Take your share of the affliction of the gospel of Christ by the power of God. Okay? In case you see this as affliction, don't worry. Suffer it. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Verse 6. But with that faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without there means besides, apart from. Without, apart from faith. Besides faith. Anything apart from faith. He says it is impossible. Impossible. A complete inability. Impossible. The opposite of dunatos, as you know, dunamis now power. It is impossible. So this is not a suggestion. It's not saying without faith, you cannot, or you may not. Or let us just be trying, maybe one way or the other. Mm-mm. It is not a suggestion, it's an absolute negation. Absolute negation, absolute negative. You cannot. Like Jesus' response to that rich man, say, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And some verses have twisted. So, for those of you who wrote exams on this, why did I remove your one mark? What was the sentence you did not say? It describes an impossibility, not a difficulty. So you cannot say, it is just hard. But if it tries, it can enter. No, it is an impossible situation. So the same thing here. Without faith, this is not a difficulty. Not that it should be hard for you to please God without faith. No, it is that you cannot. Pleasing God is only found in faith. That is why faith is following God fully. See verse 13 of that Hebrews 11. Verse 13. Quickly read and write. Let us do this quickly, children of God. Is that the meaning? Is that the meaning of Imuchineke? That's meaning, Imuchineke. Okay, it's a presentation. You're like, okay, what's the presentation? Oh, Mochineke. Scripture, don't. Well, at least I got Chineke, God. So, 13. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things, ha, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them what? A city. See their confidence. That even though it looks like they were the lowest of men at that time, they were taught strange that, imagine Lot in a full town where everyone derives pleasure in homosexuality, and he's saying this is not it, and trying to just be there. What will be the attitude of every other person to him? Will he be a good popular person? No, it will be strange. But these ones will say, hey, I know that what I am after is different from this. And they are so convinced that they are not seeing what it is around them as what they are missing. Do you understand the level of faith and assurance? That, hey, what I'm after is not enough for what you have to appeal to me. Oh, Satan is still falling. So if they are marching and we are down here, are they saying that we are the Satan? Anyway, it's all good. Glory to God. So 15 now says, if they have been mindful of where they were coming from, if they have been mindful from what is around them, their confession would have been different. So what were they mindful of? What was their mind full of? Of what that intention of God is. Their mind was full of what it is that they are holding on to. They that say such things, these are not normal persons. They are not. So, it is only by faith. It's only by faith. What have we done this morning? Okay, you know, those of you writing exam today, amen. Workers in training, amen. Preacher's portfolio, amen. I don't want to talk. I have a question for you. That's what I'm saying, amen. Answer, amen. Good. For truth to be truth, what must happen? How do we see truth? Yes, so what preacher's portfolio? Have you done a preacher's portfolio? It is now. For truth to be truth, yeah, we have three checkmates for truth. Well, how can we decide that this is truth? Tammy, how do we know truth? It must be what? Huh? Constant wear. Yes. See how you are trying to use sense knowledge for me. I will still catch you. Jesse, do you know the answer? Okay. Let me say it so that you tell me whether it's not preacher's portfolio. For truth to be truth, one, we must see it in the Old Testament portion. Two, it must be found in the mouth of Jesus. Three, it must be emphasized in the epistles. Did you say anything like that? But you're ready for your exam, right? For truth to be true, for you to say this is truth, the checkmate to know that this is truth in the entire Bible is that you must see it consistently in the entire Old Testament. Not just one random scripture. It must be consistent in the entire Old Testament portion. Also, we will find it in the mouth of Jesus. And we will see it consistent or emphasized in the epistles. And that is the checkmate we have used this morning to analyze that both in the Old Testament, both what Jesus said and what the apostles emphasized, what is the requirement for salvation? Faith. Believing. So, faith is everything. Faith is everything. Faith is following God fully. The man in faith is not disadvantaged. The man in faith is not missing out on anything. It might look and appear that way, but indeed he lacks nothing. Because God's witness and God's testimony is above all. Say, the man who has faith has followed God fully. The man who has faith has fulfilled all of God's requirements. Then it must be important to you. You must not belittle your faith. You know, it's funny how when we teach salvation message and people say, it's not possible. It cannot only be by believing. How can you say just believing? Only believing, nothing else. It's because you are belittling faith. God doesn't belittle faith. God sees it as everything. God sees that complete trust, confidence in what he has said and done as everything. You should see it too. You should see it too. Never mock a man in faith. See what Pastor posted for us this morning. That you don't say things based on what is happening alone. The word of God influences your words, your consciousness. So, if, for example, Sister Judith is coming back from outreach and she's not happy that for the past 1 month, everybody she's teaching runs away from her. They see, like what I said, they see you come here and they'll be running away as if you are carrying poop, you poo on your body, like or something like that. And she's not happy. 1 month I've been doing this thing, in fact, 1 year. And she comes to you. What should be your response? Now, if she says, well, I will keep going. I will keep going tomorrow. I'll keep trusting that there will be something different. What is she doing? She's having faith, or she's consistently decided to stay in faith. But if a man now says, see, you're not wise. Go to where you are go to where you are celebrated, not tolerated. See, if you want these people to listen to you, you are a fine lady. Why would you be stressing yourself like this? Just dress fine. Pack your hair very well. If you don't have a car, let somebody borrow you or just borrow one and just drive to this place and then step down wearing this kind of shoe that there isn't is wearing. And then you just come down like this and then you go to the person and say, hello, good morning. Can I have 30 minutes of your time? I just want to talk to you. Is it okay? The guy will say, take 1 hour. If I... It's only 30 minutes. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. Just sit down. Let's do this. It's okay. So, how are you? Have you eaten? Like peace. You'll be talking like peace. See, when you do this, don't worry yourself. It will follow you everywhere. You say, come to church. Before you even come to church, is there like some people that have tried to do that before, even in this church? And it will be over you because that might work in maybe some places, but by the time you follow a lady here and you are here day and night fasting, you are just like, I didn't sign up for this. It will show your hypocrisy will definitely be exposed. Anyway, that is by the wayside. But if you now say that is how to get this done, what have you actually done to her? You have belittled her faith. You have told her that her faith alone is not enough to get this done. You have given her alternatives and options outside God's own requirement, which is faith. There are certain actions which faith will produce. It will produce prayer, yes. It will produce diligence in the word, yes. But anything outside that gospel, faith cannot produce it. So by the time you are introducing it, you are definitely trying to pull this person outside faith and saying there is more needed. Brethren, God doesn't belittle faith. He mustn't. In your actions, in your words, faith is enough. Faith is enough. Let faith has its perfect work. Faith will produce certain actions. Let it happen. Let it happen. Let it happen. Let it happen. Ah, this morning's session has not finished, but we'll just stop here so that we can continue later. Amen. All right, let's be on our feet and just pray. And encourage one another again. Encourage yourselves. As faith will get us what we need. Faith will get us all that we need. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, we cannot get anything from God. Without faith, faith in His intention. Faith. And that supersedes everything. So, being strong in faith, you will not be told to be strong in faith if something was not strong enough to carry your attention. It's because of the certainty of something strong enough to pull you and make you doubt that this faith might not really get you everything. That is why you are told to be strong in faith. So, encourage yourself this morning. Whatever it is, just reassure yourself again that faith in Christ, faith in God, faith in this. I am here. I'll still exercise faith. I'm not taking from this path of faith. Faith is what propels all of my actions. All my actions are breathed by faith. So just examine yourself again. Are there actions you have taken outside faith? You know the actions that faith births. You know. So just, that's what you are praying about this morning. That in these places where I have gone outside this faith path, I retrace my step. And also, I receive strength to be consistent and staying on this path. That's what we are praying about. So go ahead and pray for yourself this morning. Pray for yourself and pray for one another. Pray for yourself and pray for one another. Pray for yourself and pray for one another. Go ahead and pray.
Let's pray in the name of Jesus.